When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Brought to you by the all-new 2014 Toyota Corolla.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark, and Charles W. Chuck Bryant's with me. Jerry's over there, so it's Stuff You Should Know. On a Friday.
Yeah, it's a sleepy Friday here.
Yeah, there's like two other people in the whole office.
Yeah, I think the work-from-home program is great, and I think that apparently 99% of us utilize that on Fridays.
Yeah.
Kind of neat, though. I like it.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's nice and quiet.
Yeah. You know those companies like that are trying to get people to come back in and not telework?
Oh, really? Is that a new movement? Mm-hmm. The non-teleworking movement?
Mm-hmm.
That didn't make much sense.
I'm with you.
You're going backwards. Back in time.
Yeah.
You know?
Might as well make them drive to work in a horse-drawn carriage.
Yeah, and wear a suit and tie on Fridays.
Yeah.
Good to see you, my friend.
Thanks. Good to see you too, man.
Are we going to sail through the galaxy together?
Yeah, I've got one. I've got an intro. So about 400 years ago.
Okay.
There was an astronomer named Johann Kepler.
I've heard of him.
Johannes Kepler.
Yeah.
Take your pick. Is the S silent? Who knows?
I think Johannes. He founded the Kepler effect.
Yeah. So he also had this idea that there was what's called a solar wind, that there was a wind that blew through space, and it was evidenced by the curvature of comets' tails.
Huh.
You could see them just kind of bending a little bit, and that was because they were being blown by the wind. So Kepler, as was pretty much the thinking at the time during the age of exploration when he lived, said maybe we should construct some sails, some mighty sails that can survive in outer space and just sail around the galaxy.
That's pretty forward thinking.
It is forward thinking. And Kepler was wrong about the solar wind. There isn't a wind in space, although there is solar wind now.
Yeah.
But it's just some positively charged ions that hit the magnetosphere of the Earth and create the northern and southern lights.
Yeah, it's not like a warm wind literally blowing through space.
Exactly. But Kepler's suggestion led to just this huge, incredible irony, wherein we have figured out now how to sail through space.
Yeah.
Not using wind, but using sunlight.
And it's been done.
Yeah, it's been proven now several times.
I think in 2010, Japan did it. And in 2015, a pretty major one is going to set sail.
Yeah, the biggest one for sure.
Yeah.
It's going to literally set sail.
I saw something like 13,000 square feet that one is.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Yeah, it's, I think, 10 city blocks.
Wow.
No, that was a different one. I'm sorry.
Okay.
13,000 square feet, though, is definitely the largest one that will have been put in space.
Yeah.
There was one that was 10 meters square called the NanoSail that worked just fine, that NASA launched and was up in orbit for a year and then came back down, and they were able to do all sorts of cool stuff with it. And even before then, apparently the idea of sailing through space, this analogy between space and the oceans, is not lost on anybody who's into this whole idea. And even before the current incarnation, there were uses of solar sails. Like in the 70s, I think Voyager 2 mm-hmm. Which is one of those deep space probes, was having trouble with its attitude. It was having attitude problems.
Yeah.
And it needed an adjustment. So the controllers down on the ground turned its solar arrays and used them like a solar sail to correct its attitude. Worked.
Huh.
And then it worked enough that in the 70s, remember Halley's Comet?
Sure.
Okay, well, that was 1986 that it came through.
Yeah.
And we're going to be the last generation to be able to see it twice, probably.
When's it coming back?
I think it was 60 years or 60 years.
Is it?
So let's see. That would be 2054.
Yeah, I'll be like 75.
Yeah. We'll make it.
We'll see.
There was a whole NASA program that lasted about a year to rendezvous with a solar sail, using a solar sail to rendezvous with Halley's Comet.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know what they were going to do when they came upon it.
Right.
But the idea of a solar sail and the fact that a solar sail will work
uh-huh.
has been proven and known since at least the 1970s. But only recently have we been launching these things
right.
and getting them to do what we want.
Which is travel through space without the use of rocket fuel.
Yeah, because that's a huge thing, man. Rockets use a lot of fuel, and it's a constraint.
It is. In fact, the weight of the space shuttle, the dearly departed space shuttle, was 95% fuel. And the way rockets work in general is they expend their – they shoot their payload to get them going, and then they – cruise, basically. But that's a lot of payload and a lot of fuel.
Right.
And, but they're not just constantly like have their foot on the accelerator, you know? Cause they can't tote around all that fuel.
No, well, even if they did just sit there and have the gas pedal to the metal all the way, eventually they're going to run out of fuel too. So it's a double constraint.
Yeah.
You have a finite amount of fuel and you can't accelerate constantly. Plus there's also a third one too that the solar sail pretty much has over a rocket, it can return to Earth, which is called deorbiting.
Right.
So let's talk about this. Like, what do you need to have a solar sail? Like, it's a pretty basic, simple idea.
It really
idea,
is. Yeah.
But it's pretty much the future of space travel. We've talked about antimatter spacecraft before.
Yeah, that might have been where we mentioned this, actually.
Okay.
Because I definitely know we've touched on this once.
To put these two together, the solar sail is definitely the winner. Antimatter spacecraft requires us to be able to produce something that doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
Which is an, I can't remember, an antiproton maybe?
Yeah, I can't remember.
This is like, we've got everything we need right now to do this. So let's do it.
What we need, continuous force from the sunlight. You need a large mirror that's really thin. We'll get into that.
Mm-hmm.
And you need something to launch it. You can't launch these things from the ground. They do great once you get them up there, but you're still going to have to launch it into space.
Yeah. Even still, it's such a minor constraint. It's ridiculous. I scoff at its inclusion.
And the reason this works is because light, it releases electromagnetic radiation in the form of protons.
Mm-hmm.
And these protons, even though they don't have mass.
Photons.
What did I say, protons?
Mm-hmm.
These photons, even though they don't have mass, they have momentum.
Yes.
And that is, that momentum, when it hits a solar sail, is just like a little wind blowing a sail.
It transfers its energy.
Yep. And it's just, it's almost the same thing as a wind blowing a sail.
Yeah. When you put a bunch of them together,
yeah,
it is very
sure.
much like that. Especially if you think of wind as little discrete packets of wind.
Yeah.
This is little discrete packets of light. And also, Chuck, when a photon hits a reflective surface, a highly reflective surface, it transfers its momentum twice. The first time when it hits it,
yeah,
pushes it along, and then when it pushes off
to bounce off
to reflect, so it transfers momentum twice. So photons hitting a reflective surface in outer space, the vacuum of space where there's no
yeah.
resistance. That's something that, you know, you can kind of get behind.
Yeah, it's significant.
And if you look at an individual photon or even sunlight as a whole, it doesn't have a lot of, it doesn't exert a lot of force. It's something like 9 newtons per square mile.
Yeah, like that's the reason they can't take off from the ground. 9 newtons is what you get from the sun to the Earth.
Right, in an astronomical unit. Right.
93 million miles. You're going to get about 9 newtons of force.
That's how much. Yeah. By the time they reach this area, that's how much force they have.
Yeah. Which is the reason why you can't take off from the Earth.
Right.
With a solar sail, because you need about 1.67 million newtons of force for a liftoff of like a rocket.
And
so they're way behind as far as lifting off from the ground.
Right. And once in outer space too, a rocket is clearly superior for quick acceleration because it can produce like 2.1 million newtons of thrust. And again, sunlight produces 9.
Yeah.
2.1 million compared to 9. But the big advantage is, again, your solar sail doesn't use any kind of fuel once it's unfurled and deployed.
Yeah.
And it can accelerate constantly. And this is the big advantage that it has over rockets.
Yeah, well, that flashy rocket might blast off and shoot its payload and go zooming through space. The little solar sail is just kind of going about its way, getting a little faster, getting a little faster.
Yep.
And eventually that rocket, though, is going to go through all its fuel. And the little solar sail is going to catch up to it because it constantly has its foot on the gas.
As a matter of fact, there's a really good analogy in here. I guess it's not even an analogy. It's some sort of statement, maybe, that if we launched a solar sail right now, it would take about 8 years for it to catch up to Voyager 1, which is the most distant rocket-based or fuel-based spacecraft in the universe that we've launched. It's toward the edge of the solar system right now. Which, by the way, did you know that all of the images you've seen of the swirling Milky Way galaxy overhead are fake?
I didn't know that.
We don't have any way to produce that photograph. We've reached the edge of our solar system. We have no way of looking above the entire galaxy.
Right.
So all of this is what we surmise the Milky Way to look like.
Here's our best guess.
Yeah, but it's never presented that way. You think like, well, that's our photos of the Milky Way. I never thought like.
Right, that's impossible.
Exactly. Like, we're not even sure how many arms the thing has.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I just think it's a little arrogant to produce pictures like that and not say, this is an artist rendering. This is an artist rendering.
It probably says that at some point, right?
I never noticed it.
It's like those fake newspaper articles where you get to the end of it and it says, this is an advertisement.
Right, yeah. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on. Hey, everybody. Did you know that Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico? But it's more than just a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Yeah, that's right. It's an island that's filled with adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the entire United States.
That's right. Or you can get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico that remind you of why you travel in the first place.
Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island. It becomes a part of you.
That's right. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
All right, so we were talking about the it would take 8 years to reach the Voyager.
Yeah.
And that's like one of the big...
Which has been sailing for 20 years.
Yeah, and that's one of the... And that may be the biggest advantage of a solar sail is deep space exploration, because the problem with anything else is eventually going to run out of fuel.
Right.
And that's what this one in 2015, I think, is set to go deeper into space than anything ever.
Yeah.
If it makes it.
And probably pretty quickly. So, like, the whole advantage of this is that when the solar sail starts to pick up, let's talk about how fast it moves real quick. You want to?
Does it haul butt?
And not at first. So it picks up 1 millimeter per second of movement every second once it starts. So it's moving a millimeter a second at first.
Okay.
That is not fast at all.
No, no.
By comparison, a rocket moves about 56 meters a second, something like that.
That's meters.
Right.
Yeah.
So it begins very slowly, right?
Yes.
But then it starts to accelerate. There's constant acceleration. And by the end of a day, it'll have reached 310 kilometers per hour.
See? Slow and steady.
And it will have already traveled 4,700 miles. By the end of 12 days, it will have accelerated to 3,700 kilometers per hour. That's fast. And eventually, Chuck, it's going to start traveling about up to 200,000 miles an hour. That's 324,000 kilometers per hour. That's basically you would make it from New York to Los Angeles on the ground.
Yeah.
In less than a minute.
That's pretty quick.
It is quick, but get this. They figured out that if you use ground-based light propulsion, which would use a lot of energy, to direct lasers at this thing,
yeah,
you could get it up to something like 18,000 miles per second, 18,600 miles per second, which is a tenth of the speed of light. And once we do that, we could make it to a nearby star in about 20 years.
That's pretty good.
We could make it to outer planets within a couple of weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. So the potential for this thing is enormous because it's proven, it uses no fuel, at least if you're using the sun, and it's the technology that could get us into interstellar travel.
That's pretty awesome.
So what's it made of?
Well, the sail itself is key because it's got to be super lightweight and super thin. You can't just fly a big mirror up there.
Right.
What NASA's working with today is something called CP1, and it is 100 times thinner than a sheet of stationery.
Crazy.
That is crazy. I know they worked with Mylar for a little while, aluminum-reinforced Mylar, which if you've ever seen Mylar balloons, like that's super thin.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a foil. And it's 1/4 the thickness of a 1-ply plastic bag, and that was the Cosmos 1. That used the Mylar sail.
Yeah.
But basically all these sails are reflective. It's got to be reflective because the photon has to bounce off of it.
Right.
And it's got to be super lightweight and super thin. And like any sail, the larger the better.
Yeah.
You know, the more photons you can catch, the more speed you're going to get, I guess, eventually.
So you said the one that's going up 2015 is called the Solar Sail Demonstrator. It's dubbed the Sun Jammer, which is after an Arthur C. Clarke story. And that apparently is where solar sailing was coined.
Arthur C. Clarke?
Yeah.
Huh.
Love that guy.
Yeah.
But that's the one that's going up in 2015.
He was 2001 A Space Odyssey, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it apparently collapses down to something the size of a dishwasher and weighs 110 pounds. You and I could lift that together.
Yeah.
And
I could lift that by myself.
They pack the thing into a rocket, shoot it up into space.
Uh-huh.
Once it's in space, in orbit, it gets kind of shot out a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it, I guess, inflates. I believe the booms that hold the sails in place are inflatable, which makes them even more lightweight.
Yeah, it's almost like a kite. If you imagine the supports of a kite were all just inflatable and you would just blow it up, those forms would take shape as buttresses and then the sail would unfurl.
Right. And then
sun jamming.
Yeah. Land ho.
You talked about lasers. That is one of the, I guess, co-fuels, even though it's not a fuel, that these things might use. Mm-hmm. If there aren't enough photons, maybe they can use lasers to continue to power these.
Right.
But not for launch, though, right? Or could they use them for launch?
It looks like they did launch it somehow.
Uh-huh.
I think you could. I think it'd just be slow.
Okay.
But I think that the most immediately usable method would be to launch it into space and then hit it with a laser once it's in space.
Right. I also saw microwave beams have been used too.
Yeah, there's a whole other kind of competing microwave sail, but the problem is they have to be a lot bigger because of the larger wavelength of a microwave.
Seems like using all these things in conjunction together is probably a good way to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Microwave juice, a little laser juice,
right.
A little photon juice.
Why not? Use whatever you can.
Yeah.
But the difference between just using sunlight, one of the problems with sunlight is you have to be going away from the sun because that's the direction the photons are gonna push
you.
Oh,
yeah. I didn't think about that.
And they've pointed out where you can go toward the sun, but you have to basically go out and then come back around and use the photons to slow you down.
Right.
Which just seems kind of...
Yeah. I wonder if any of these are ever going to be manned.
They could be. If we can figure out how to not crush people in 18,600 miles per second speed.
Well, I guess that's true. Because can you slow these things down?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
The other question I had about this that I couldn't find anything on is, if these things are a hundredth the thickness of a sheet of stationery.
Yeah.
And I've seen gravity. So there's a lot of debris in space.
Yeah.
What's keeping the space debris from just punching holes right in it? And just tearing it to shreds?
Well, I think it's probably stronger than you would think, considering how thin it is.
Yeah.
Because it's reinforced. But, yeah, you're right.
Well, there's
because of gravity, man. They're like solid things were just blown to bits.
That guy's face.
Yeah. Did you like that movie?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I didn't go into it expecting
the best movie ever, like a lot of people did.
Yeah, and like you know,
it's a lot of hype.
That old crank Neil deGrasse Tyson, like, oh, we should call it angular momentum, not gravity. It's this is a blockbuster Hollywood movie. You know, it doesn't have to be absolutely perfect. I thought it was great.
Yeah,
and if you're learning your science from Sandra Bullock?
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should learn it from other people.
Like Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Sure. The other thing that I saw that solar sails can be easily used for is deorbiting that space debris.
Ah.
Apparently, you can send some stuff up there, have it go into an orbit, capture a bunch of the space debris, I guess just basically wrap itself around it, and then bring it down.
Huh.
I think the way that you bring
it down.
Is that
just like cleaning up space?
Pretty much, yeah.
So which if is, it's a danger?
It's a big deal.
Yeah. That's Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. And I think the way that you bring solar sails down so easily is because, one, you don't need fuel to bring them down.
Yeah.
And you can just angle them a certain way so that the sunlight pushes them down toward Earth and they burn up.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's pretty nifty.
It is. So we may be using them just around Earth first, but these are the things that could very easily lead to interstellar travel within our lifetime.
That's pretty cool.
We're talking 20 years. Right now, it'd take a lot longer than that without this.
Yeah, I'm definitely, we should follow up in 2015 on the, is that the Sunjammer?
Yeah, which is next year now, because this is our New Year's Eve episode, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, actually.
Nice.
So we're already in 2014.
Or we're about to be, depending on when you're listening to this.
That's
or
right.
When it comes out.
So in just a year or more, the Sunjammer will be doing its thing.
Yeah, we should do a follow-up on it. My money's on this one, maglev trains.
Yeah.
People going without refrigerators.
That's the future.
Yeah.
Wiping your butt with cloth.
Right. You got anything else?
I got nothing else. I like this one. I think the solar sail is literally the thing of the future.
Yeah, I like it too, man.
Yeah.
You want to wish everybody a Happy New Year?
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. And I'd also like to say a very happy birthday to my sweet wife.
That's right. I always forget it's, what's the date?
The 30th.
30th, okay.
Yumi's birthday is the 30th.
Well, happy birthday, Yumi, and happy New Year's, everyone, and be safe.
And we sail into the future. If you want to know more about solar sailing, you can type that word in the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And since I said search bar, it's time for a message break. Stuff you should know. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on. Hey, everybody. Did you know that Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico? But it's more than just a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Yeah, that's right. It's an island that's filled with adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the entire United States.
That's right. Or you can get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico that remind you of why you travel in the first place.
Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island. It becomes a part of you.
That's right. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Now, Chuck, it's time for listener mail.
What am I going to call this? I'm going to call this from Roanoke, Virginia, just because it's easy. Death metal from Roanoke.
Nice.
Hey, guys. I was listening to the episode, Why Does Music Provoke Emotion? Love that episode, by the way, because music has been such an integral part of my life and everything I do. And it also reminded me of an experience I had recently. Metal music has always been my favorite genre.
Oh, I know this email.
Did you read it?
Yeah.
I guess I just really connect with it. Anyway, I recently decided to try out the black metal subgenre. I guess he previously was into light metal.
Right.
I just figured
new
that.
Metal?
Yeah. So I purchased Dark Thrones Transylvanian Hunger. Put it in my car CD player and started driving. With the music, when the music started, I got the strangest feeling. It reminded me of Christmas. While this seems like the last reaction one would get from such a type of music, I think I figured it out. The music itself makes me think of icy, snowy winters, which I, of course, associate with the joy of snow around Christmas as a child. Between this and the relaxing tremolo guitars that were carrying the music, the cool breeze that I felt through the car windows, and the pale moonlight, the whole experience made me feel a happiness that resembled the kind I usually get around Christmas time. I just found it really fascinating that something that I found so relaxing would probably make most listeners want to scream in a fashion not unlike the vocalist of most of these bands. It's so true that music can yield a different reaction from everyone.
Right. Or AET.
Anyway, just thought you might find that interesting, and thanks for the great show. That is from Patrick Hagar in Roanoke, Virginia.
I think you have to say Hagar.
Well, I wanted to, but it's H-A-G-E-R.
Nordic metal.
Not A-R. He should change his name to Hagar with a couple of umlauts.
Yeah.
That's like, then you're listening to Transylvanian Nightmare. What was it called?
Yeah, I think that was right.
Transylvanian Hunger.
Which is Manhattan Transfer.
No, that's the opposite of death metal.
I got you. If you want to let us know about some strange reaction you had to something we've discussed, right?
Aside from drowsiness,
right?
That's
yeah,
not
we put
strange.
A lot of people to sleep.
Yeah, I heard Jesse Thorne talking about the other day about what a backhanded compliment that is,
right.
And how it always makes him feel bad.
It doesn't bother me.
No, and it was on Judge John Hodgman, and Hodgman was like, no, man, people are saying they're, in a very intimate moment, you are relaxing them into sleep.
Right.
And that's a compliment. So
yeah.
That's how I choose to take it.
Hodgman, he's got such a great perspective on things.
I know. Jesse, come on, buddy. Lighten up.
Yeah, if you want to tell Jesse to lighten up, or if you want to tell us about some weird reaction you've had, we want to hear about it, you can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow. You can send us an email, thestuffpodcast@discovery.com. And you can hang out with us at our home on the web, your gateway to the new year, StuffYouShouldKnow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
We'll be right back.
brought to you by the all-new 2014 Toyota Corolla.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Childproofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/power safely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.